James Ennis and the Montreal Symphony Orchestra played the final movement from Max Bruch's Scottish Fantasy. It's 9:32. Good day, GTA. I'm Jean Stillwell here with Mike Duncan.
26 degrees downtown, 33 with the humidex. We're going up to 31 today, probably in the high 30s when it's all said and done. There's a 40% chance of showers this afternoon and risk of a thunderstorm. I have a great book in my hand. It's called The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry. It's a first-time novel, debut novel, by radio playwright and actor Rachel Joyce, published by Bond Street Books, a division of Doubleday Canada. And what makes this book really neat is that it's on the long list for the Booker Prize, prestigious Booker Prize.
Isn't that exciting?
It is, and yeah. Rachel Joyce joins us. Oh, let me tell you a bit about the book before I get there. Oh, no, we'll do that in the interview. Rachel Joyce joins
us
in the studio right now. Hi, good morning. Turn on your microphone. That'll make things better. Before we get to the book, let's talk about that. That must have been like a huge wow factor to get on the long list.
It was extraordinary. It was also completely out of the blue. So I was actually with my children, who've come with me to Canada. Mm. So we were preparing for our holiday, and we were actually in the middle of a shopping mall, I suppose it would be, buying... I don't know if I should say this on air, but anyway, I'm going. We were buying fresh holiday underwear for the journey.
You have to have that.
And you go on holiday, you have to have, you know, good, nice, that fits you.
Exactly.
It was for the children, obviously, because I have four children. So my son had just chosen his holiday pants, and then I had the news.
Wow. What was your first reaction?
I said, are you serious? And then I said, do you mean me? and they said yes. And then that night, I dreamt that an announcement was made that they'd made a mistake.
Oh.
And actually, it was Rachel Jones. And I don't know who Rachel Jones is and whether she's written a book or not. But anyway, I thought, oh, well, okay.
Oh,
and then I woke
sweet.
In the morning and realized it was still true. But I had to keep checking.
Sure, of course. Well, for something like that,
it's the pinch factor.
It is the pinch. I reminded myself, though, of my children. I've got teenagers. And sometimes, you know, with teenagers, you pass them and they're looking at themselves in the mirror to check that they're still the people they were half an hour ago.
Yeah.
And it was the same with the news about the book, all right? I just had to keep checking the internet to make sure that it was still the same.
Well, good for you.
It's a wonderful thing to have happen. Now, this book, The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry, concerns Harold Fry, a retired brewery salesman kind of, I guess, milquetoast kind of guy. Everything is regimented with him, his what has become a loveless marriage to his wife. And all of a sudden, he receives this note in the mail from a work colleague from decades before saying that she's dying of cancer. He writes a note, you know, I guess a condolences note, goes to mail it, but then keeps on walking and walking and walking the length and breadth of England. How did you come up with this story?
It was a very clear story right from the beginning, and in a way it's a sort of simple story in that the idea is you keep living and I will keep walking.
Mm-hmm.
That is in essence the idea of the story. But it came about originally as a radio play that I was writing.
I was going to ask that,
which I wrote. I don't normally write a play for anybody in particular, but in this instance I was writing it for my dad, because my dad had been diagnosed with cancer, and this was right at the end for him when he'd been told there wasn't really anything left that could be done. So I started writing this play for my dad sort of in secret, really. So he didn't know I was writing a play. I think he'd have been very embarrassed if he'd known. But I think it was my way of, I don't know how else to put it, it was sort of like a little present for my dad. And also, I think probably looking back, though I didn't see it as this at the time, I wanted to write something life-affirming at the point where I was losing somebody I very much wanted to keep.
And it very much is life-affirming, because he leaves his home, as I was mentioning, a very regimented, very, you know, will I cut the lawn today type of thing. But it is an amazing journey in that it opens up everything for him. He achieves a whole new consciousness. At the end, he's a whole different person.
He is. I'm very moved by the idea that at 65, when people might think, you know, I have my marriage, there's nothing more I can change, really. I've left my job, I live where I live, I'm going to stay here for the rest of my life. That at that point, a man walks out to post a letter and very spontaneously decides to do something. And in that decision opens up a whole, as you say, a consciousness, a journey, an inward journey, that he realizes things about the past and that it's not too late.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not too late.
And as well, he doesn't really, I'm not sure whether he doesn't care or it never really occurs to him what other people think about what he's doing.
I think that's absolutely right. I've never quite thought of it like that, but he doesn't. He has I think of him as a very generous man.
Mm-hmm, very much so.
But no, he won't. I mean, I think occasionally people say, why are you doing this? And he says, well, I'm doing it because I believe this is the only way I can make a difference. Mm. And that little bit of faith that he has is somehow unshakable.
And it is faith. I mean, he does develop a sense of faith throughout his journey.
He does. He does develop a sense of faith. And I think of it as a very sort of ordinary faith and a very contemporary faith. And that was what interested me about the whole idea, really, was that you could write about believing in something, not necessarily in a church, but in a now kind of way,
mm-hmm.
that I hoped people would understand.
I think it comes across very well. You also have a fair bit of satire in this book, particularly when he becomes a media darling and the whole entourage that surrounds that.
Yes. Well, I felt that in these days, if you set off on a walk like that, it could be quite easily that you suddenly attracted the attention of all sorts of people that you might not necessarily have dealt with before. And that Harold, being the man he is too nice to say to them all, would you just go away?
Mm.
So he has to embrace it. But I thought also that must be part of his journey, that he has to deal. If he hadn't had to deal with the media and social media, then it would be a sort of bubble in which he walked.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt it had to be a contemporary tale.
The other thing that struck me very vividly was the description of the relationship with his son.
Yes.
I mean, throughout the entire journey, he is not only making... Part of his journey is not just merely physical, but he relives his entire life, in essence, and he reevaluates everything he did.
He does. He does. Again, I'm quite a big walker, but I don't mean I'm a very professional walker. Mm-hmm. I don't have any stuff. I don't have any... But I tend to sort of walk, leave the front door in whatever I'm wearing, and not really know where I'm going. But I do find that I think,
mm-hmm.
and when I walk, thoughts come to me, ideas come to me, things that I'm not expecting come to me. So for a man to do that over 67 days, a lot is going to come to him, I felt. And I felt you can see things freshly somehow when you're out of your context.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think Harold can reevaluate his life. And it sort of takes a lid off everything he's suppressed or not dealt with, you know, put away, or even thinks he's forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
It's very positive, isn't it?
It is an extremely positive novel. Did you plan this? I mean, did you have a giant map somewhere?
Do you know what I did?
And had
I
it did. Planned out? Did
I
you?
Did have a giant map. It worse, actually. I mean, I was very, very particular about the planning of this journey because I felt that I had to know exactly where Harold was every day. And even though it's not always in the book, I have a very, very solid document at home because I thought the reader would sniff it if I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you've really got to have the reader's trust. So the other thing I began to do was to tear pages from our roadmap in the car and stick them on my wall. And suddenly the wall was full because I work in a shed in the garden. The wall was full and then I had to start another wall. And then one day I had a phone call from my husband who said, I'm stuck.
Oh, no.
The roadmap appears to jump from basically the south of England to the northwest. Is that anything to do with you?
I hope he got home.
He did eventually. I talked him back with the map on my wall.
You have to get a GPS.
So your debut novel is up for, I mean, all kinds of different book clubs have picked it up. It's up for the Man Booker Prize on the long list. How do you follow that up? You must feel like Michael Jackson after Thriller. I mean,
do you know what? I am quietly writing my next book, and I'm really, really glad I have it. Because again, as the as that Harold was. It was a sort of secret place for me to go, and it's how I escape. And I think it's very good just to keep going to the back to the basics, you know. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't, you know, people can say marvelous things and it's great, but I think don't be wooed by it.
Right.
Go back to what's solid and what you know, and just keep quietly writing. So that's what I do.
Good
well,
for you.
I think that's. I look forward to your next book. I wish you nothing but the best with the Booker Prize and continued success.
Thank you very much.
Been speaking to Rachel Joyce, author of The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry. It's out now, published by Bond Street Books, a division of Doubleday Canada.